This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's a, I don't know if it's another false DMV spring, but it's beginning to look a lot like spring. Weather's getting warmer. So naturally, we're going to talk about a winter sport, hockey. but in all seriousness, it's heating up, and it's because it's playoff time in that our Washington Capitals are heating up and feeling the playoff fever. And we'll talk about that more in a second. Joining me back from a 2-week sabbatical for birthday reasons mainly is the one and only mermaid Anna Knox. Anna, how you be?
I'd be great. Happy St. Patty's Day, Gil.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And I got my green beer in hand to festivize. But speaking of festivizing, how did the birthday festivizing go?
It was good. I had a fantastic lunch with a really great friend, and it was like 2.5 hours long. Which those are the things that you cherish these days, right? Not so much presents as just time with people. And then I woke up on Sunday, which was my actual birthday, to an entire dining room table filled with things for the deck. So new lights, new potted plants, new all this stuff, since I've been spending a lot of time out there, including today. So like I came in, I'm like, we're going to record, talk, the two good games, and then I'm going to go back outside.
Nice. And it's appropriate weather to go back outside, since by the old temperature app, we're going to call it 66 degrees, which is appropriate because don't you live off of 66?
I do. I do. Yes, I do. So how's it been the last? Well, I saw you on Sports on the Hill last week, but everything good within the last 2 weeks? I haven't been on the show.
Yes. Everything's been fairly good. We've been wrapping up the trade deadline doing so. We know, pardon me, we have an idea who's going to make up the team. And me personally, it's work hasn't been too bad, except that a lot of anxious people with are my grades being recorded, mainly teachers, because the system gets to be kind of glitchy once in a while, especially when the hosting company decides to have an outage one day for about an hour.
Yikes.
Yeah, a little bit of panicking going on there, and a lot of "Don't worry, it's okay" on our end. And it was okay after, like I said, after an hour, but not before a lot of nasty emails and hand wringing and
freakouts.
Freaking out. Never see students freaking out over lost grades. I wonder why that is. Always the teachers.
Yeah, they're never stressed about stuff like that ever.
So. But that was the only stressful point, at least off screen, that happened the last few weeks. So nothing really, really bad. So 2-2 week for our Caps on the ice. Mm-hmm. And yes, given the fact that just about every blasted one of these games, except for the first one, aired at just before 0:30 in the p.m.,
It's just brutal. I am too old. Like, the fact that I struggle with Sports on the Hill and getting off at, 9:45 if I'm lucky, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so old, but I'm up so early that it's like, it's hard. So to think that I could watch a puck drop at 10:30 was not in the cards.
Yeah. Well, for you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you, I braved all four games. And believe me, a couple of them, that Edmonton one for sure, but a couple of them were really, really hard to get through, especially towards the later end of the week. But I did it for you, and we'll cover them like no other. So let's go ahead and get to that right now. So the first game was actually partially we covered, as I think you mentioned, a bit of a simulcast this past Monday evening when we went on with Sports on the Hill, starring, of course, the great Robbie Gross, and the special guest he had on. I'm proud to say now Facebook friend and also friend of the show, Janaea Bennett, Janaea Talks Caps, which hopefully, I don't know if she's listening. I think she might be listening. Hopefully we will do a collaboration one day.
Yeah.
I don't know how she would like to work that, but I am very much open to doing that. If you have not caught either her podcast or her YouTube videos, do please do that, because they are both each a treat. The YouTube videos especially, she's so expressive after a game. I don't know what's better, a bad loss or a good win.
All right.
Or anything in between.
She covers it.
Yeah, she covers the entire spectrum. So yeah, it's like eating a bag of Skittles, because you can definitely taste the rainbow. So definitely catch that. Just wanted to put in a plug for our newfound friend. So the first game, okay, well, it was against, I don't know if they were leading the Central Division at the time, but it was against the Winnipeg Jets, who pretty much are earmarked for the playoffs. If they're not, going to win the division, they're going to be close to it. So nobody's a lock yet, but I feel like this is a team that's going to make it and probably do some damage. So I wasn't too optimistic. I just wanted a game where they kept up, and I kind of feel like they did for the most part. It was just that one of those games where the opposition was just that half step quicker on the puck, mm-hmm. and just that much sharper. And if you can't see it, but I've got my fingers, my forefinger and my thumb, about a millimeter apart. They were about that much better, and it turned into a 3-0 loss. So let's quickly go over the scoring summary. 10:05 into the first period, Neil Pionk with his fifth, assisted by Appleton, sorry, and Adam Lowry, the assist on that one. And the second period, this one I thought was the dagger, because the Caps were kind of struggling to keep up as it was, but they were, one goal down in the first period isn't, usually nothing to worry about, but this one I thought kind of put it away. Alex, walk away, walk away, walk away, walk away. I follow his ninth, Morrissey and DeMello on the assists on that one. What? No comment.
I was drinking. Sorry.
Did I make you spit it out?
I thought you would at least have like a Morrissey reference as well, but
no. I usually do, but no. Here's the thing. I have been waiting 4 or 5 bloody years for this to happen. Okay, for this guy to get on a score sheet against the Caps, because he's spent the first 5 or 6 years of his career on the Kings. Okay, mm-hmm. And all the games, all the 2-3 games a year that they play against the Kings, he didn't get on the score sheet. Okay. Then he gets traded to Winnipeg, and I'm thinking, okay, it'll never happen. And finally, he scores. So, yes, I am going to take full advantage of it now. Okay. Now that he's actually on the game, and you can make all the comments you want. But, yes, I had to throw in that U2 reference in there. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Yes, they are an Irish band, in case you didn't know. I'm sure you did know. So
I hope people know.
I would hope people know, but by now anyway. But that was the goal that I thought, as I said, I thought put the dagger in 8-16 in the second period. Caps were pretty much chasing the game after that. And like I said, could not really keep up very well. Kyle Connor, you knew he was going to score. 27th of the year. I'm surprised he doesn't have more. But he's pretty good for a goal against a team like the Caps. Shifley and Ehlers on the assist for that one halfway through the third. And, yeah, that was pretty much all she wrote. Not a horrible game for the Caps. Could have been better at the faceoff dot. Could have had more shots on goal. But I don't think they played horribly. Again, this was more a game where Winnipeg was just that much better. They've been challenging for the Central Division lead all year for a reason, and they showed why this night. And apparently the Sports on the Hill curse is reborn because, yeah, like I said, we followed along the third period and they lost. So,
Makes me worry about tomorrow.
Well, I know, but anyway, so we move on. And so it's the Wednesday, and we're going to draw a line through this next game. We're not even going to talk about it too much. It was the game against the Edmonton Oilers in Mr. Rogers' place. Mr. Rogers was not too kind here. Nothing was very kind in this game. If you were anything Washington Capitals, as it was a royal beatdown of sorts. This was very, very, very hard to watch. The 11th minute of the first period. I will go down the scoring summary of the first four goals of the game. Herr Goalmeister, Leon Draisaitl, his 33rd, Nugent Hopkins, and Connor McDavid on the assist on that one. That was a power play. 4-minute power play. Boy, if ever you don't want to give up a 4-minute power play to a team,
right?
It is this team. Yeah, is right, because that I was doing a lot of at the screen because and a lot of later on for different reasons, but
yeah. Well. Okay.
Anyway, Caps actually almost survived that power play. It actually happened on the last, I want to say the last 30 seconds of that extended power play. But yeah, essentially Nick Dowd, Samurai Nick Dowd made an appearance.
The sun shot!
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Enough said.
First game back, and he wanted, boy, did he make an appearance. Let's just say he made an impact, just not the one he was probably looking for.
Right.
2 minutes later, Caps go down a man again. Like we said, you don't want to give up power plays to this team. They already have people that can put the puck in the net 5-on-5. You might as well tie your own hand behind your back, get on your knees, and say, please, sir, can I not have some more against this team? If you do that. So McDavid scores his 25 on the power play, Bouchard and Draisaitl on the assist on that one. And it was 2-0, and we're thinking, okay, well, maybe this game's over. Well, for about 3 or 4 minutes, we thought, no, not. So the highlight, or one of the highlights, as few as they were for us Caps fans, was Mr. Ivan Miroshnichenko's second career NHL goal. Wonderful slapper from the half-board area. I don't know, can't remember. I'll call up the replay just in case, but yeah, I believe it was In the area, in the general vicinity of the half boards, as soon as the stupid ad decides to stop playing, and will let me watch the video. Okay, so apparently it won't, because apparently NHL.com wants us to know that spring break for all is happening, whatever the hell this thing is. Okay, so now it's decided in its infinite haste to play the video. Okay, so what have we got? We've got Strome breaking across, and Milano puts a backhand pitchforker towards the net. They battle in the corner. Strome rings it around. Jensen puts a shot on goal. Marashnichenko, yes, it was around the half board area. I think who was that had? I think Jensen should have had something of an assist. But his shot was squibbed and blocked in front, and then Marashnichenko recovered it deep in the right circle, almost along the boards, blasts it past Skinner. Beautiful shot. And made it 2-1. That was at 8:30 and 10:55. So Caps go on the power play, 10:55. Our Connor Mick, Michael, his 13th. Ovechkin and Pacioretty on the assist on the power play, and we're thinking, okay, we got a game here. And we're thinking wrong, because Zach Hyman then burst onto the scene and does what he does from 5 feet from the into the slot area with his 44th, gets what turns out to be the game winner. Second period, he gets another one, his 45th. And a few minutes after that, gets yet another one, his 46, because you know what that equals at that point? That equals a natural hat trick. And what's more natural than that? Yeah, 3 goals in a row. Not natural like beer, but yeah, 3 goals in a row. That's what happens when you let somebody like that loose in the slot area. And yeah, that was pretty much the game. The Oilers would get two more. I'm not even going to mention who at this point, because they're two guys I don't want to mention, because they're kind of infamous in Caps lore. You want to know who they were, you look up the score sheet your damn self. But it was a 7-2 loss. And yeah, nothing to learn from this game, except they hung with them for about 12 minutes and then not. And yeah, I don't know what happened, but you know, again, you don't want to have a start where you're chasing the game. That's where they did, and they managed to pull even, which I like. But they lost the momentum again, and they did not buckle down. But I think they did learn from this game what not to do.
I agree with you on that.
Other than not take penalties, and they applied it to very well to the next game, the next lesson, which was which is going to be our focus game of the week, the Seattle Kraken. So this was a yet another 10 o'clock start at the Climate Pledge Arena. I was asked by our good friend, our man out west, Pete Fisher, to do a special preview for the game, hence the video. I hope everybody caught it and enjoyed it. But yeah, that was the reason for that. Yes, I don't usually do videos, but I figured what the hell, he wanted a preview, and that was that. Not a whole lot of scoring, but a whole lot of great defense played in this game. And so I don't like to toot my own horn, but what did I say in that preview? I said puck control and taking care of same would be how they would win the game, would be the key to winning the game. And by golly, gosh, friggin' darn it, that is exactly what they did, and that is exactly how they won the game. So if you look at the summary for game stats, if you're following along in the NHL app, if you're in the game center for this game under game stats, you know what? They don't have it anymore. They do not have the giveaways and takeaways anymore. That really, really sucks. All right. Bear with me a moment. Yeah, I think this is what C4 was talking about. Well, in any case, as Alan May repeatedly pointed out, not a whole lot of high danger chances given up by the Caps in this game, and not a whole lot of giveaways made by the Caps in this game. And so they followed the playbook to a T, and it paid off. A quick rundown of the scoring summary. T.J. Oshie, his 11th on the power play, 14-20. No assists on that one, all him, as it was a bad mistake, a very rare miscue by Joey Decord, the goalie for the Seattle Kraken. As I said, he was going to be the difference in this game. Little did I know how much of a difference he would be in this game.
Right.
But yeah, bad giveaway by him that led to Oshie recovering the puck, putting it away for the first goal of the game. Then Oliver Bjorkstrand, his 18th, Yanni Gourde and Kyler Yamamoto in the assists on that one. I kind of knew that the Seattle, this was their third power play, and Caps PK, unfortunately, has not been as reliable as of late. So I kind of figured that this would be the one where the dam would kind of crack a little bit, and lo and behold, it happened. 3:32 into the third was when that happened. So it was kind of a tight one here. And again, the mastery of puck possession won the day. Yes, it's boring. It's not all that exciting. It's not flashy. It's not something that is going to move the needle as far as what goes on the stat sheet. Okay. I get that it's not, and you are trying like hell to stay up and have a reason. But in a close game like this, it really, really matters what you do with the puck. And not making mistakes in a close game like this is how you win. It's the little things that you do that lead to victory. And they managed the puck extremely well. And for the most part, they kept it out of the hands of their centers. Like I mentioned, McCann, Gourde, Beniers, none of those guys had a whole lot of chances on net. So let's go to the box score and see if the app actually, okay. So yeah, I know they have the shots on goal and the who. Okay. So Jordan Eberle, also another dangerous guy who I think this was his 1000th game. Only one shot on goal. All right. Pardon me. Matty Beniers only had one shot on goal. McCann, only two shots on goal. Yanni Gourde, he had an assist, but he only had one shot on goal. Now, Andre Burakovsky, on the other hand, they let him have three shots on goal. But this is where having a Charlie Lindgren comes into great effect, because he grabbed them. Okay, so Seattle only had, as I said, 24 shots on goal. They had 15 blocks, so 39. At least, that's not counting the shots that went wide, but at a minimum, about 40 or so shots that were directed on net. The ones that were on net, Charlie got 23 of them. He's been
impressive. I'm liking him. Let me take that back. I've always liked him. I like what he's been doing these last two games, especially.
Yes, for sure. And as Janaea said Monday when we were all on together on Sports on the Hill, there's no question that he is the number one goalie as of right now, and it's his net to lose. So there's no question about that. Yeah. And yes, he has been the superior netminder. And he was definitely on his game tonight. The few high danger chances, he was spot on when he needed to be. And he did need to be, because Seattle ramped things up and got 11 shots on goal in the third period. Now, this is the other side of the coin that I don't like. And it would rear its ugly head again in the next game that the Caps happened to win. But if you're going to go into a defensive shell, that's one thing. But to completely turtle and not offer much of an attack or a counterattack is another thing entirely. And that's the kind of thing that bites you in the ass. They only got, by comparison, 4 shots on goal in the third. So that's, you know, the third period play, I think this obviously is still something they're working on as a team. But again, that giving the opposition carte blanche to dictate the momentum is often a recipe for disaster. And I would really rather they not do that, but you know, this game and the next one, it happened to not bite them in the butt, but one day it will, and it may well end up being a critical game, but thank goodness it wasn't this one at least. But yeah, more than almost half the shots that they got this game, Seattle did in this period. So they really ramped it up, but the Caps as a whole were up to the task, as we said. But yeah, very limiting and high danger chances. I think that was the key, taking care of the puck and just, you know, well, I mean, let's be honest, making it something of a boring game.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but yeah, our man Pete was there, and hopefully if you're a Phil, I'm letting my tongue run away from me. It could be. But hopefully if you were there and you were a fellow Caps fan, you caught up with Pete, you were able to meet him up, and he had flyers with our brand new QR code on them.
Yeah, and I saw that. That's very cool.
Yep. So if you scan those, it'll lead you right to the page on Podbean where you can catch up on past and present episodes of the Power Play Point podcast. And we've also made that available on the Facebook page. So if you're looking to find a way to get to our archive other than the other routes, Apple Podcasts and such.
I hope not.
That's one way to do that. If you were ever curious. So again, yeah. Thank you, Pete, for that. Before we leave this game, I wanted to focus on one of the goals, the other Caps goal.
Mm-hmm. The McMichael one?
Yeah, that was scored, the winning goal that was scored. And I think this is going to go, I'm really hoping this is going to go a ways towards building his confidence. Because I think a lot of his game, I think McMichael is starting, hopefully, to turn that last corner where he can finally get out of his own head. I think
I think he showed that, you know, like recently. And I think it's, you know, it's not gonna be every single game, as we know with several of any player. But I think that this at least has been the season where I don't think he's second guessing himself. And I don't think he's a, you know, super negative headspace all the time. I think when I don't see it as what it was, say, last year, even the beginning of the year, beginning of the season, I should say. I think he's there, and I just think he's just going to consistently get better.
Yeah, I agree, but I still see moments where
doubt
moments of doubt just creep in, you know, just really, you know, small flashes. It's not like 1-2 years ago where he was like, "Oh God, what am I doing out here?"
Right.
That is
the headlights.
Yeah, exactly. That I would say that is about 98% gone.
Yeah. Well, and I think now that I think about the last, you know, times that we've spoken about a couple of the players with, like, we can say what their potential is and we know what their skill is and we know what their level of athleticism is. But if they don't have it in their head, they don't know. And McMichael and Protas are like the perfect examples.
Yes.
You know, it's like I don't know if there's ever been a game where they haven't mentioned how tall Protas is, but it legit comes up every time, you know, and it's almost funny because it's like, it goes hand in hand with how many times are we going to hear how Matthew Phillips is on the shorter side. You know, it's like, it's just constantly brought up. And I'm like, do the commentators know how often they say this? But I think, you know, with Protus, you always said he's just kind of there and not sure what to do at the beginning of the season, especially with his size, in regards to us being like, you're like 6'7", you're huge, you know what to do, like, do it. And, you know, and now we're seeing, you know, the him shine. And I think with Michael, it was McMichael, it was a lot of media hype. And, you know, you get that stuff and people expect things from you and you don't fulfill that. And then you get all the quote unquote fans that want to just be like, he sucks, trade him. And it's like, of course, it's going to mess with your head.
Yeah. And we're trying to minimize that, because yeah, it doesn't, I mean, the average player doesn't pay much attention to that, but when you say dumb things like that as a fan, number one, it makes you look like an idiot.
Oh, okay? Absolutely.
Because especially when you're not paying attention, if you're only making a comment about the bad and you're not offering a counterpoint or anything constructive or anything as far as an actual evaluation that proves that you're seeing the game.
Right.
Okay. If that's all you're doing, then I'm sorry, but you look like a friggin' idiot.
Yeah.
More than anything else. But it does give off that negative energy.
That's my 100%. And that's my frustration, is like, it's not just one person. It is a collective amount of people who just want to be jerks and want to post things. And whether, you know, you're human, you're looking on social media and people are going to say things or, you know, not. And, you know, God, if you ever hit the comment section, I wouldn't want to know. Like, I would, you know, as a player where you're like, I know where I'm at, but someone's going to be like, oh, hey, you know, he was sick or he looked distracted or he looked tired. And then some asshole's going to come in and be like, fucking trade him. He's worthless. He's this, he's that. Those are the comments that stick with you, unfortunately. And there are people out there that are thriving off of, you know, making these dickhead comments about players that they would never say it to their face. And that's, right. You know, it's just like, yeah, you just stay in your mom's basement behind that keyboard and keep being a jerk. All right. Good for you.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, I had to vent. I've been reading some negative comments and I'm just like, who the fuck are these people?
I totally get it. And we're not talking about the people that are like, well, he's having a bad game because X, Y, Z.
No, not at all. Because you and I have discussed like players that, you know, we're like, hey, let's go take a little reset. Like you did not have a good game. But no, it's the people who just take it to a level it just doesn't need to go to. And it's like, wow, are you really feeding that negativity into these players' heads, whether they're reading it, you know, every day or not? But someone's out there, you know, you don't want to hear that stuff.
Right. So getting back to the goal, just want to describe the action here. If you're following along on the app, so Caps have it in the zone, in their own zone, Seattle Cycling, and looks like what happened was a bit of miscommunication between, I believe it was Burakovsky and Justin Schultz. Go figure, 2x Caps.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically what happened was McMichael picks up the squib pass and darts through neutral and breaks in all alone and makes like a Kleenex, puts a little boogie on it and zooms in there and puts the backhander in. And yeah, very, very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very pretty indeed. And like we were saying, it got to do wonders for his confidence, but not like, you know, not like it was at a low anyway, but, you know, certainly can't hurt.
Right.
Given where he was a year or two ago. Gonna love the overall game. I might be a bit harsh in saying that it was, you know, a boring game plan, but you know, that's there's times where the Caps can, you know, outscore you mm-hmm. with a whole bunch of goals, but that's against teams like an Ottawa or a Chicago. They can do that against the bottom feeders. Seattle, not so much.
Yeah.
Seattle, more grinding team. They will outwork you, and that's what it took. They had to outwork them in right. return, and that's what won them the game. So we're going to flip down to the game from last night, and kudos to all of you who sat through all four. I'm hoping I'm not just patting myself on the back, but
oh my God! And if you sat through all four, my God, then maybe they should be taking my position on this podcast.
Well. I don't know. Maybe you should get something, but good Lord, that many games in that space of time after 10 o'clock. Yeah, even though it was a Saturday, but still. And it was Vancouver who has been running away with, you know, not only their division, but is probably going to be the well, right now they're probably the presumptive President's Trophy winner. Not that mm-hmm. that's any prize you actually want, but basically a team that I think a lot of people had them down as a loss. So especially after what happened in the 1-1-1, if you like ones, 1 minute 11 seconds in the first period, 1-0 Canucks. Prince Charming impersonator with the hair, Brock Besser, his 36th, Quinn Hughes and Mikhaev on the assists on that one. And, I did not like this goal. I thought it was another one of those cases where the Caps did not look ready to play, did not like how this was scored. You never want to give up something this early in the game, because it means that you're right from the get-go, pretty much you're chasing the game. So, but again, the Caps were, you know, turned out to prove us wrong, those of us that thought that, me included, because in the second period, and again, when he scores, it's always one of two types of goals. It's always, it's uncanny. It's almost always either a game tying goal or the a late game go ahead goal. And he does it again. Tom Wilson, his 16th, 6:01 of the second, ties it. And Carlson and Marashnichenko, his second point of the week.
Mm-hmm.
First NHL assist. And I didn't see that they were down as a line combination, but I don't know. I kind of like that. I kind of like that pairing. I don't know if they're going to keep that, but I kind of like the idea of those two on a line.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then pizza for everybody. Hopefully you took it. Pizza's here. Hopefully you took advantage of that today. But Alex Ovechkin gets the game winner. Minute and 53 seconds later at 7:54. His 19th, McMichael and Alexeyev on the assists on that one. Let's go to the replay on that. So Caps are deep in the zone. They're cycling. They're grinding. Looks like. Okay, so yeah, this was the really weird but beautiful tic-tac-toe play where, okay, it's hard to describe, but I'm going to do my best here once they get to the replay. But Ovechkin really from deep slot at the bottom, basically at the bottom of the left circle, not quite his usual spot, but it was a shot from the high slot that rebounded and from Alexeyev over to who was that? Over to McMichael, who I don't know if he was going for a shot, but if he was, it missed and found Ovechkin on his stick, didn't hit him on the tape, but he recovered enough and buried it. So pretty good one there. And that was the game winner. And this was another one where it took superior puck management by the forwards and the defense.
So I will say, now I was like, wait, did I stay up? I watched the first period because we had to be there. Like I was going to hopefully see Oshie's 1,000th. But, you know, then it was like, oh my God, is it, you know, that he left the ice early and, oh, is he not going to be able to make it? But I kind of felt like he was going to rally. They just didn't, you know, want to push it too much in a warm up. And, but I will say when I sat down to watch this game, as exhausted as I was, that freaking team, that Vancouver team is fast as fuck. Like that was, it was just fast. And that's what I was concerned about was like, they came out, you know, that this is it. Like this, they're going to play 60 minutes. And if we don't go out as strong, you know, like this game's going to be over. So I was super proud to see the result of this game. Cause just watching even that first period, I was like, holy shit. Like it was that, I don't know. Is it just me?
No, it's not just you. And a quick, easy stat for anyone who, doubts the ability of this team. Quinn Hughes, probably the best of the three Hughes brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The goal, Brock Besser's goal, that was his 64th assist.
Holy shit.
64. That's pretty much an assist a game.
Yeah.
That he's averaging.
Wow.
Okay. That's Nathan MacKinnon-like levels.
Yeah, that is.
So that gives you an idea of how well this team can move the puck. So what do you do against a team like that? You don't let them have the puck.
Yeah.
Now, not an easy task, I get it, but somehow the Caps managed to do it. Now, it didn't help that they were big-time losers at the faceoff dot. Practically two-thirds of the faceoffs they were losing, but... Mm-hmm. Now, they won enough key ones, I think, to make the difference as far as that regard. What helped was also not feeding the cat Ex-Lax and staying out of the box. A total of 4 minutes and penalties in this one. And I think the Seattle game was pretty much the same way.
Right. I think it was.
Yeah. It was like 2 minutes or something. Well, 14 minutes in that one, but I think a lot of those were matching minors. At least.
Oh, okay.
Oh no. Okay.
Then it wasn't the game. The game, was it the Oilers game?
No, it's 14. Oh, okay, 14 minutes. But so the Seattle game. Caps actually gave up 4 power plays and Seattle gave up 7 or 3 for a total of 7. So no, not quite the same. Okay, I thought for some reason the penalties were shook out a little different, but okay, so I guess not. But getting back to this game, what really helped in you know, a really fast team like Vancouver, yeah, they're already hard enough to cover 5-on-5. You don't want to give them an advantage like that. And yeah, only one minor. You only give up one minor and give them one power play. And yeah, they're pretty good. Pretty good. So I think it showed a lot of discipline, which they were going to need, and a lot of willingness to stay with the game plan, which, you know, that's how you win games like this.
Mm-hmm.
You play as a team, you stick to the game plan, and you keep that unit mentality with you. That's how you win games like this, and it's going to serve them well as long as they can keep it up. I'm trying to think of anything else from the game I can take away. Okay, so as I said in the Seattle game, this was this something that was the same as the Seattle game. Third period, 4 shots on goal for the Caps, 11 for the Canucks. 11. Again, they are damn lucky they didn't give this game away. They really are, because that many shots on goal. And this time, the Outlaw really had to, this was half their shots
mm-hmm.
for Vancouver in this one period. So he really had to come up big. Charlie did. So, but that's kind of a disturbing trend. You don't want to give up your chance at the momentum that late in the game, to a team that can just take it and run with it. But the shot blockers did their job for sure. 20 block shots for the Caps. But that, then again, so did the goalie. But they have, again, I can't stress this enough, they have to learn how to, I mean, they got lucky in this game, in the Seattle game, but they have to learn how to better close out games by not just handing the other team the momentum, but, you know, keeping it reasonable by, you know, keeping up some semblance of a counterattack and not just sitting back and letting the other team just take shot after shot and just hoping your goalie bails you out. That you can't keep doing that. And I'm waiting for the game where they do that and it bites them in the butt. And I'm not going to be the guy that says I told you so, but I'm waiting for that game, and it is going to happen, I think. So anyway, Caps get the split with Vancouver for the series. They come away with the win. Great win. Pete was actually there at the game. I'm going to try, and I actually we actually upgraded our Fios coverage to include mm-hmm. a DVR. So I'm going to rewatch it again.
Oh, okay. So
he was actually behind one of the goals. I'm going to see if I swear I saw him, but I wasn't sure. So I'm going to watch it again just to make sure and see if he got caught on camera. And also our new friend Janaea was there also.
Yes, she is.
She lives in the area. So, of course, being a Caps fan in the area, she went to the game. And she's kind of a good luck charm as far as Ovechkin scoring. So good to see that. Maybe it ought to be. JENA 50 is the Caps promo code for the 50% off pizza, not OV50, but I'm kidding.
That might be a little too much pressure.
That might be a little too much. Yeah. speaking of too much, maybe a little too much green beer. I don't know. Kidding. Or not.
So,
yeah.
Well, we're getting towards. Yeah.
We're getting towards it. So that was the week that was a 2-2 split for the first 4 games of the road trip. And it's not over yet. As we said, got Calgary coming up Monday night, going to be covering, I think, probably be about the second period live. And it'll be the 8th anniversary, 8th season, end of the 8th season. So the 8th anniversary, I think. I hope I didn't get that wrong. Robbie can flog me later if I did. The 8th anniversary of the Sports on the Hill podcast. So you and I, Anna, along with himself and whatever other guests I'm sure he'll have some lined up for mm-hmm. that special. So catch us on Facebook Live, True Radio Network, and Twitch, and perhaps other platforms. So we'll be on at just after 9 covering that. The rest of the games that week, we're back home at Cap One Wednesday evening, 7:30 puck drop against Toronto against the Maple Leafs. And then Friday, the 22nd, 7:00 puck drop, against Carolina. All right. Going to make an announcement now. If anybody listening is going to that game, homework assignment, somebody please try and save me a shirt. Because
is this the Hawaiian or no?
That's the Margaritaville Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quick shout to C4. Yes, I finally got the rally towel in the mail. Thank you for that, dear lady. And so that will be the coming week. And then Sunday, we'll actually be covering four games again next week, because that Sunday, Caps will be in the third of a four-game homestand. It'll be a matinee game, 12:30 puck drop, March the 24th against the Winnipeg Jets. So we'll be covering that game as part of next week's episode. So four games again for that one. And that'll bring us into the last week of March. And it's really knuckle down time as far as the playoffs. Speaking of which, the points and the standings stand thus. As of right now, we still got games going on. In fact, I got New Jersey and Vegas playing in the background on TNT. It's a 1-1 tie with about 12 minutes left in the third period. Counting all of the other goings on from today, as of right now, so the Metropolitan Division standings, top three are the New York Rangers sitting at 94 points, Carolina sitting at 88 points, and the Philadelphia Flyers at 76 points. So, of course, one of the two ways you can make the playoffs, land in the one or two at-large spots for the wild card or the top three in your division. The wild card spots, Tampa Bay sitting in the first of the two positions at 78 points, and the Detroit Red Wings at 74. Caps are 1 point behind that spot, sitting at 73 as of right now, today's action. New York Islanders, they lost against the Rangers, so no points for them today. They are also at 73, but we have the lead over them, and as we have more wins and the tiebreaker, so that win that tiebreaker and one game in hand as well. They're within striking distance of the third spot in the division, and very, very close to the wild card spot. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And as Anna mentioned, I'd be remiss in saying, for my number's sake, happy 1000 for Mr. TJ Oshie. Thank you, good sir, for all of you, all you do. He willed that team to win. Let's not make any mistake about it.
Absolutely.
Not bad for a couple of old guys, but him and Ovechkin, they willed that team to win. It was the young guys keeping control of the puck, but it was their grit and determination. So the recipe is taking shape here, folks. It's beginning to look like a good team. We're still early in the plan here, but it's beginning to look like we've got a great gourmet meal cooking here. So, you know, even if they don't make the playoffs, you know, hang around. You're gonna like what's cooking here. You really are. So hang around for the build, because you're gonna love it. I'm not kidding here. You know, and if you witness it from the ground floor, that's something really, really special. So Caps do have something to play for. These are not meaningless games. They're not gonna tank for a draft spot. And again, if they don't make it, then the younger guys at least are all better for learning what it takes to be in playoff mode.
Right.
So
I'm ready.
All right. So that's that was the week that was. So we're going to wrap it up here. Going to stop it here. Join us, as I said, for Sports on the Hill Monday night. Be the Mermaid and I and Robbie and others. And one last shout out to our friends Pete Fisher and Janae Bennett. Thank you both for repping the show this week. And to the rest of you, stay active on the Facebook page. Really, really appreciate it. We're hitting double-digit markers for every single post. So really want to thank you guys for that. Keep up the good work. Download the show. Tell a Caps fan you love about us so we can ramp that up. That's our base. That's our home right there. So tell a Caps fan you love about us so we can up the downloads and make Podbean go a little crazy about us. So
big, nice.
Yes. All right. So for the Mermaid, Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that I don't want to be morbid, but we all have to face the Grim Reaper at some point. So that time when I go, I put in a request for my wishes, what I want to be done. I let my loved ones know that I want to be buried in a glass coffin. So you could say that request remains to be seen. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.